Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message. See you at church.
Good morning, church. How are you all? There's one of us that's good. I'm glad to hear, Pastor Robin. How are you all? Good? Good. That's good. Who's been enjoying some sunshine? Oh, yeah. Yeah. This morning, I wanted to share on a topic which I think's relevant to all of us. And quite simply put it, I wanted to talk this morning about spiritual blindness. Since I've been a kid, God has been real to me as the fingers on my hand. No one could convince me otherwise. I was fortunate enough that my parents got saved at a very young age. So my parents come from a secular background, but for almost as long as I can remember, I've been going to church. And from quite a young age, I had an amazing revelation of God, of Jesus, our Savior. I'm so blessed in that regards that I was able to experience God in such a real way. And so through my teenage years, if I ever kind of got distracted and pulled away, which happened at times, God was still real to me. If I go walking outside, I can't help but see God in everything. You know, like I'm literally one of those people that will see the birds and be just like, wow, that's amazing. I look at plants. I look at something as simple as grass. And when I mow it, and I'm thinking like, how cool that God made grass so that I could mow it and get this amazing feeling of that. And even when mowed weeds kind of give me that same feeling sometimes. but I just can't help but see God in everything. I think about my relationship with Naomi, which birthed into these wonderful three kids that I have, and I just think, wow, God was in that. I think about the fact that moving from Adelaide to Murray Bridge and what was a big change for my life and kind of going, well, you know, God was in amongst all of that. I look at struggles that we go through, and still, nevertheless, I can kind of see God's hand in amongst of everything that's going on. I think about my workplace, the fact that when I finished up with Weber and when I bought my electric bike store, God was in amongst all of it. I mean, if you want to pick a time to buy a business, you do it around the coronavirus, the biggest global pandemic, right? But nevertheless, God has been just, it's like phenomenal. Like if I knew the coronavirus was going to happen, there's no way I would have done what I'd done, right? And literally a matter of weeks before quitting my job, like a week later, everything started to unfold with coronavirus. So I just lost my security blanket. But nevertheless, God was in amongst all of that. Just business has been phenomenal where I've employed more staff. And you're going to go, well, how can that happen? But it's all about trying to see God in everything. Hopefully you can relate. Hopefully if you think about yourself and you think about when you go outside and you look at the stars and the sun, the people that God's put around you, hopefully you too can see God in the things around you. Oh, that's sweet. Holding hands, talked about that. But it doesn't take long to look around and see that not everyone sees that. I go down to the local marketplace, go get my coffee, and you look around and you kind of go, well, no, people don't see the world the same way that I see that. And that's a weird thing to think, because literally it'd be like me trying to go to you, look, now my hand's here. It's here. Can't you just see my hand? It's here. But that's how real God is to me. And if I look around, people don't see God like that. I take a quick look on Facebook, and you can quite easily see that people don't see God in everything. There is a spiritual blindness to God. And it doesn't matter how much you say, look, can't you just see God in nature? Can't you just see God in the situation? Can't you just see this, see that? That you kind of go, well, how can they not see it? How can they not see it? I think about family members or friends, and I'm just like, but can't you just, like, can't you see God's here in this situation? But they can't see it. This week, oh, it's not up yet. That's okay. This week I was driving home late at night on the freeway. Here we go. We'll go to the next one. Now we've got, oh, thanks, Cal. I'll let you do it for a sec. I was on the freeway, and it's a late, sorry, what was that?
I think you were lost.
I think I was lost. Yeah, no, that's, I'm going to pay that one. That was pretty good. For those that didn't hear that, someone just commented that I was lost. So for those listening on Facebook, they missed that. No, this was just a picture I stole off Google. So I was driving home at night, and just driving in my car. And one of the things I love about driving through the hills is all the greenery. You know, you get to see so much. And I had this realization when I was driving home in amongst the darkness, and it's kind of like this revelation of going, well, this is kind of how sometimes people see the world. You know, they're on the road. They might have their parkas on where they can see a little bit in front of them. They might have their headlights on, and they can see sometimes what's immediately in front of them. But at that point driving, if you've never been on that road before, and if I tried to explain the scenery of what you can see during daytime, it would actually be really hard to comprehend, because everything around me at that point is dark. You can't see the green trees. You can't see the rolling hills. You can't see everything around you at that point because it's dark, other than what you can see with your headlights right there in front of you. And it reminded me of a situation I found myself in accidentally when I was driving back from Murray Bridge, or just past Callington, and heading towards Mount Barker. I call it the Big Dipper. You know that halfway spot between Callington and Mount Barker? There's this spot that goes down, and you go back up again. I think we're all familiar with the spot. So I'm driving along early one morning, just totally distracted. I should have been paying more attention. Just fiddling around, cleaning my dash. I should have been paying more attention. Anyway, horribly, what do? Black at night time, I knock my light switch off, doing 110 kilometres in the pitch black. Thankfully, no cars around. That's a horrible experience. You could imagine my panic, because all of a sudden I could see, and all of a sudden, for the better of terms, I was blind. Doing 110 kilometers an hour in the pitch black is not recommended. So what did I do? I slam on my brakes. It's the first thing. I try to get off, I'm just trying to, you turn your lights on all the time. But it's amazing, in the panic of not knowing what's going on, I can't find my lights. So I then get to this point, I flick on the lights. I'm down to about 50 kilometers an hour, and there's a sense of relief. I can see again. I speed up, and I keep on driving. I don't tell my wife when I get home. It's the first time she's probably heard that story. I was incredibly scared at that point. Incredibly scared. I could no longer see where I was going. I had to slow down. I couldn't see what was around me. I couldn't see the sweeping hills, the beauty in and around me. It was dark around me. And it got me to the thought of going, do you know what? Spiritual blindness to me is almost as horrible as that moment. It's horrible. It's a terrible thing. See, spiritually blind people can have perfect physical vision, but they cannot see all that God's made around them, made them available by His grace. And I think as a church, and us Western church at times, I think that's one thing that we can fall victim to at times is our own spiritual blindness. Just so caught up with what's going around us that we forget to see where Jesus is in everything. And if we've got sightless vision, it affects everything. It affects how we live, the decisions we make. It affects who we trust, what we do. It affects how you go on about your business. See, John 14, 7 to 20 says, "The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept Him, because it neither sees Him nor hears Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Another verse on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6, it says, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. With ourselves as the servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let the light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." I feel like at that point, I feel like part of a privileged group of people. The fact that I'm not blind and I can actually see Jesus as the light of the world. See, spiritual blindness, what a horrible thing to think about. But if we think about it, all of us at some point were spiritually blind. And if we're not careful, can still face spiritual blindness. I want to go to a story in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. So if you've got your Bible, feel free to turn to that. And it's the story of blind Bartimaeus who receives his sight. So Mark chapter 10, verse 48 to 52. It says, "They came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside, begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called the blind man and said, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus." And then he said, I forgot to press the button. "What do you want me to do?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see you." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he receives his sight and followed Jesus along the road. There you go, Lynn. See, in this story, when you look into it, it's a little bit deeper than a blind man getting his sight. See, earlier in the chapter, verse 32 to 34, Jesus predicts his death for the third time. Tells his disciples, those that are closest to him, and yet they miss it. They miss what's really going on here. They're picturing the fact that Jesus is about to become and seated on the throne. His kingdom's about to arrive, and he's going to rule, is what they're picturing right now, which is why then the sons of Zebedee in the following verses then talk about, can I sit next to you on the left and can I sit next to you on the right? See, they've completely missed it. And it's easy for us now because we get to read the whole picture and see all of it. But I kind of like myself to the disciples at times, because at times we spiritually miss it. We think something's going to happen one way, but it doesn't always happen that way. And so we then sit in this story just after Jesus has said he's going to die. He can kind of tell that his disciples are still spiritually blind to what's going on. And then we get the story of the blind man. And really, really interestingly is that when we get to that and we think about the context, we get to the, if we go deeper in this story, and in this with context, we see that we get to the next bit of scripture where is the blind man Bartimaeus, who's blind, and he shouts out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And see, that bit right there is the blind man who can't see anything acknowledging who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, he is the Messiah, and he's come to save him. And so a blind man almost has more revelation of who Jesus is than the disciples. And I think it's very interesting how Mark wrote that. So, and then Bartimaeus shouted to Jesus, "Son of David." He was giving him the title of Messiah, Son of God. And so that the blind man, he could see Jesus for who Jesus was. He had more revelation than the disciples. And then he was calling out in faith to Jesus, "Jesus, Savior, have mercy on me." And then people told him to be quiet. Isn't that amazing? It goes to show you that sometimes when you're calling out Jesus, and if you're spiritually aware of what's going on, that there may be some around you that will try to quieten you down. Because they thought he was not good enough. He doesn't deserve time with Jesus. In his mind, he was a dirty sinner because he was blind. He must have been a sinner because who else has blindness? He must be a dirty sinner. But the more that people tried pulling him away from Jesus, the louder he got. He might have been physically blind, but his soul was awake to who Jesus was, and he wanted to be part of Jesus' destiny. And then Jesus answered him. He called him. And then interestingly, the ones that were telling him to be quiet were the ones that said, "Cheer up, it's okay, he's calling you, come over." And then Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Jesus to which he replies, "Rabbi, I want to see." To which Jesus says, "Go in his faith," that his faith has healed him, and immediately he could see. He was blind, but he could see. So the world does not see Jesus. The world does not see Jesus, but he wants us to be able to help be that gap for some people so that they can see Jesus. You know, I think the interesting thing is when I look on Facebook or even myself with some of the conversations and the arguments that I've had with people, I've tried to intellectually argue why Jesus is real. But the problem with all that is at the end of the day, if they're blind, they're blind. If they're blind, they're blind. So sometimes some of those Facebook arguments are a waste of time and energy. Sometimes those arguments we have with people on over something to do with Christ can sometimes be a waste of time, which is why it's so important to be spiritually open, to be spiritually open there. In Matthew 15:14, we see that the blinds, that they are blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person guides the other, they'll both fall into the same ditch. They are blind. So What causes spiritual blindness? What causes spiritual blindness? I just made not a non-conclusive list, but made a list of things that through some research that I could see cause spiritual blindness. Sin and selfish living. See, in the Bible it says that sin separates us from God, and living from sin can separate us from Jesus. It can create spiritual blindness. I remember a friend, 10 plus years ago, questioning his faith, going, I just want to hear the voice of Jesus. If God could audibly talk to me, I would believe. If I could just want a sign, something physical, something I can touch, feel. But then also, he was living deeply in sin. And it was like he wanted to have all this experience and this relationship, but not wanting to give up this other part of his life, not wanting to repent and change from that sin. Another thing is lack of faith. In this story, we can see that it was his faith in Jesus that got him his healing. So therefore, the opposite would be true, that the lack of faith can create separation, can create that spiritual blindness. Anger and hatred. 1 John 2:11 says, but anyone who hates one another, brother or sister, is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. I think about times in my life where I've been so angry at certain things. So angry that you just get so lost in that hatred and that anger that you forget about where Jesus is in the situation. So caught up in the anger and the hatred. I actually think that's an easy one for us to do with a world that says it's all about me, because you've got a right to be angry at someone else for doing something wrong to you. Religious pride. This one's the one that could probably catch us up that have been Christians for a while. Religious pride. I think about Saul, who became Paul, persecuting the Christians. He thought he was doing the religious, righteous thing. He thought he was serving God and persecuting the Christians. And then it was on the road to Damascus, confronted by a voice. And Jesus asked Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? See, Saul considered himself a righteous man doing what he thought was right. But it was the pride that was blinding him. He needed to be blind for 3 days. And if we remember, it talked about a scale coming off his eyes. Before that point, he couldn't see Jesus for Jesus and who he was. It was not until the scales dropped off his eyes. I feel like at times we can do that by putting on our righteous image. We've got it all together. Wearing my nice shoes. I've got it all together, guys. But not really, right? We're all got things in our lives. I've got a broken history. I've made mistakes. And you know what? We're going to disagree with each other at times, because that's just what family does. But when you got religious pride, it's just like you're gnashing at each other. I've got to have my 2 songs at this speed and 2 songs at that speed. And then we've got to do this and we've got to do that. And if that doesn't happen, oh my goodness, the world falls apart, because that becomes a religious ceremony. And then if we're not careful, we can lose ourselves to spiritual blindness. Another one is our environment and fear. I mean, the easy one right now is coronavirus. Be so fixated on the numbers, what's happening in Victoria, what's happening in New South Wales, and now Queensland, and now someone else travelled back into our state that's got it. You can be so caught up on that and be so fixated on what it is. But can I be honest, other than doing the right thing, I kind of go, well, I don't care. Life is dangerous. If there's not coronavirus, it could be cancer, it could be driving my car, it could be lightning. Life is dangerous. So yes, I'm going to do the right thing for the community, but I kind of go, well, what's the opportunity for us spiritually? So rather than getting caught up by what's going on around us, in what's happening in our environment and fearing what's going on, the opportunities to see Jesus in this situation. One of the great things for us is it's made people question their trust in certain things that they held on to important to them. So to me, that's an amazing opportunity for us Christians to talk faith, talk hope, to talk life through Jesus in those situations. We've got an example of that in 2 Kings when in the story of King Aram, where King Aram is out there to get the prophet Elijah. He's in the house in a town, and the servant goes out and goes, "Elijah, we're surrounded. They're going to get us." And then the prophet Elijah says, prays that the servant will see what he sees. And then when that happens, he sees the legions or armies of God surrounded around them. Because at that point, in that situation, rather than seeing the situation for what it physically was, they could see the spiritual opportunity of what it was. And long story short, God ended up blinding the army, bringing them back, and they created a relationship out of that. Long story short. The other one is pain, trauma, loss of a loved one can cause spiritual blindness. I just didn't think it was going to happen this way. They shouldn't have hurt me. Pain, trauma, loss of a loved one. And I think about the story of Jesus when his closest friends, the disciples, those that are around him, he dies. Despite Jesus telling them time and time again of his plans and what he was going to do, it's like they all of a sudden they forgot. They're caught up in the pain and the trauma of someone they loved. And I think about Thomas. Thomas, who was he couldn't come to terms with it. He was so spiritually just stuck to the point that it was not until he could put his fingers and touch those wounds and see it for himself to his eyes were going to be open. And I love that because I love the humanness in the story of that. And it kind of makes me feel okay at times and amongst the pain, the loss, the struggles, that it's okay to kind of be sad and mourn, and Jesus understands that sometimes you need a little bit more for you to see where he is in the situation. So there's lots of different things that can cause spiritual blindness. So what cures spiritual blindness? It's a very conclusive list right there. What's going to cure spiritual blindness? I'm going to start with what's not going to cause spiritual blindness. And I touched on it before, jumped ahead of myself. But you know what? Arguments with people is not going to cure spiritual blindness. I think about those that around me that I'm trying to minister to and trying to witness to. I don't sit there and have arguments with them. I spiritually pray for opportunities to minister to them. I pray for them that their hearts will be softened and that I can have those conversations that I need to have. And when the opportunities comes to witness to them, my goodness, I'm there. I'm going to share my faith. But when somebody's spiritually blind, arguing with them isn't going to fix them. Sometimes Naomi says something quite profound to me, and it's a good reminder to me when I'm witnessing and sharing my faith with people. She says, "Scott, but you don't save people. You don't save people. Your witnessing, your arguments don't save people. Who saves people? Jesus. Jesus saves people. He is what saves. And he is what breaks and cures spiritual blindness. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer of spiritual blindness. If you can't see Jesus in the situation you're in right now, just ask Jesus for help. If you are struggling, or maybe you haven't even, maybe you're going, I want to see God as real as the hand on my arm, just pray to Jesus. Pray to Jesus. Jesus is the answer. And he does give us things to help us and equip us to stay spiritually open, to stay with our eyes open to things that are going on spiritually. And I think none better when we think about Ephesians, where it talks about spiritual warfare. And it's a common scripture, and we teach it in Sunday school all the times, because it's that point where you've got to put on, they talk about the full armor of God. And it's that good reminder of going, do you know what? We're not just fighting the physical, but also it's a spiritual battle. And I'm not going to go great deeply into the armor of God this morning, but I do want to quickly just go over it. It says in Ephesians, for spiritual warfare, finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, arguments with friends, brothers and sisters, Facebook comments, messages, emails, text messages, colleagues at work, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the day of in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So stand, therefore, girded with your waist with truth. Just be truthful in everything we do. If you find yourself not being truthful, just remind yourself, I need to be truthful. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, so don't be selfish, don't live for yourself, but live righteous. Like Jesus says, imitate me. The very meaning of Christian is to be Christ-like. Let's try to be like Christ. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace. Maybe that's something some people don't have here today. Embrace the peace that comes with Jesus Christ. Ask for that peace daily. And above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take up your shield of faith. Ignore the naysayers, those that are telling you to be quiet, telling you that God's not real. How can it be? Ignore the naysayers. Have faith that whatever it is, your past, your history, whatever mistakes you've made, that your sins are forgiven through the grace of God. Through that, we have mercy. And then take on the helmet of salvation. Embrace it and accept the salvation that we have in Jesus. And in the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God, let's get into the word of God. If you're not reading the devotion, if you're not at least looking at scripture in some way, start off with a verse and get it to bigger, but get into the word of God so you can stay spiritually open to what it is Jesus is doing, and praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Pray, 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 pray. If you want to win your friends over to Christ, pray. If you don't know what's going on in your situation and you can't see Jesus in it, and you do feel like you've just knocked your lights off in the car driving and you can no longer see where you're going, just stop for a second, slow down and pray. Seek God. Seek where he is in the situation. With everything that's going on around us and going in the world, let's not take our eyes off Jesus. And let's remember to see the bigger picture where Jesus is in everything. Let's make sure we're not spiritually blind to what's happening around us And let's just constantly not just think about the physical, but think about the spiritual. And as it says in Luke 4:18, Jesus does not want us to stay captive and bound. No, he wants us to be able to see again. He wants us to doesn't want us to have spiritual blindness. He wants us to see what's going on. He wants us to see. Church, we have an amazing hope in Jesus Christ. Let's not forget that. Through the thick, the thin, the bad, the ugly, the amazing, let's not forget the hope we have in Jesus. Can I pray for you? Awesome. Father God, I just thank you. We don't have to do this on our own. Lord, that you can guide us. You can take our hand along the journey, Father God, and you can show us where you are in the situation, Lord. Lord, I know being a Christian doesn't make life any easier, but we thank you that we've got you through it all. Lord Jesus, we just pray that our eyes are open to you for where you are in the situations around us. Lord, if we're blinded this morning, if we can't see you, help us to open our eyes to you. Take those scales away from our eyes like Saul. Lord, that our eyes may be open. And like the blind Bartimaeus, Lord, I just pray that you heal our eyes this morning, that we'll see you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, that you're our Savior and our hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.